introduce you to Jared here. Jared is the, well, I guess, Jared, you can introduce yourself. Maybe that would be the easiest, and tell Bob a little bit about your store, maybe how long you've been using AccuTrade and what your experience has been.
Yeah, so I mean, my name is Jared Hicks. I'm 27 years old. I've been at Toyota for about 4 years, been in the used car manager position for about a year. And that's pretty much how long we've been using AccuTrade as well. We were a V-Auto dealership. We've got a couple different dealers that we're under. We got a Lexus store as well, and partnerships in a couple other stores. But mainly we were V-Auto until kind of my position kind of emerged. And then we were introduced to AccuTrade. And I think about, I'd say April of last year is when we kind of parted ways with V-Auto and started using AccuTrade. And we've been rolling along ever since, quite happily, to be honest.
That's really great news. So I've gotten oblique feedback, I think, from Sean, from, you know, his experience, your experience at your stores. And it's obviously a great thing for us to hear these stories. And I would say that, first, I appreciate it greatly that you're getting some benefit from it. But secondly, there's going to be some things coming to the tool in the next, I'm going to say month, it should be in the next couple of weeks, that I think are going to be really great ads for you.
Sure.
Do you use Monroney labels at all for looking up original stickers?
Nope, never even heard of it, to be quite frank with you.
Okay, that's going to be on your tool. So when you're looking at a car, you push the button and you actually will see the original Monroney on, I think, 27 brands of cars. There's about 10 brands that we don't have, but on a large number of cars, as soon as you get the VIN, you're going to actually be able to see the original Monroney label. So okay. I think that's actually useful
for sure.
In many cases, if you know, if you're looking at chicken salad or chicken poop, you follow me?
That's right.
It gets you in a little bit deeper. You're going to have the ability to share your condition report. So when you actually are, you know, doing your appraisal, and hopefully folks will be starting to take, I would say, you know, a half a dozen to a dozen pictures to highlight damage and so forth. Obviously, that's useful then as the used car invoice to show the consumer as the rationality of why you're giving them X for the car that your insurance
Absolutely.
Company has underwritten that, right?
Yep.
And it really does give a rational, visual, third-party, let's call it, you know, when you just walk out and as the used car manager, you dump the appraisal on the salesperson's desk, it's not quite the same because you're just picking a number out of the air, which is it's probably the right number, but the consumer doesn't know where it came from or why. You follow
sure.
me?
Yep.
When we rationalize it, it, you know, our theory is, you know, that you really are putting it into a format that in today's world, it allows someone to consider the facts in order to recognize the validity of the number that you came up with. And
sure.
as we highlight a dent, a scratch, you know, like a wheel or a tire or whatever it might be, you know, a bumper, a burn hole, a stink in the car that's somebody sucking on cigars, right? In other words,
yeah.
all of those things that it allows you to, it's not trying to hurt the customer. You're quantifying things that in a rational way, you enable them to. So from that point, you're going to be able to actually share as the used car invoice, not as the invoice, but as the universal condition report
mm-hmm.
with any select group of dealers that you would like to advance that car to. So if you traded a vehicle for 12 G's and you feel that you have four or five people that could theoretically be a buyer for that unit at 14 G's, right?
Yep.
You're able to put it in as a purchase value where they know that, you know, you're relatively young in the business. When you're at a Toyota or a Lexus store, the cars that you trade are very desirable, even if they're junk, you understand? Because from an acquisition person, a used car dealer that is a constantly looking for drugs, a car, right?
Yep.
The further up the chain of events that you can get them to the source, the cars become more valuable. You say,
sure.
in other words, when you as the used car manager have now made a conscious decision to enable a drug addict to have access to your drugs, right? It really has a very similar thing. In other words, first, they're honored that you would allow them to have access to it. You
sure.
follow me? Secondly,
yep.
it's in a platform that, you know, really can't be Mickey. They can't come in and try to pay you less or whatever. And thirdly, if you do it in a way that we built the platform to allow, you know, like on a category of cars, you know, six people to see those cars, you've created what we've always done in the auction lanes, create the testosterone infused. If you invite this guy and that guy and that guy, and three of them guys know the other three guys, and they also don't know the other three guys. So the mystery remains, who is it that's actually going to pick that car off? You follow me?
Yeah.
That testosterone infused environment will definitely, and I guarantee you, will enable you to make wholesale profit that you're not sure if you put it on the wholesale line or on the retail line.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely going on the line of your deposit ticket going into the bank as a full retail profit. You see what I'm saying?
Yep, 100%.
In other words, the theory of, you know, trade everything, you can retail it, drop the price until you can sell it. It's a theory that from my perspective never was valid. And I think people are actually recognizing this is how we have talked ourselves into this profit compression to the point where you can't make nothing on a new car. Now you can't make nothing on a used car because you're trying to retail something. Didn't make any sense to retail when at the moment of acquisition, you had the opportunity to make a retail profit wholesale. You see what I'm saying to you?
Yep.
So on that point, Bob,
mm-hmm.
Jared, what percentage of vehicles would you say you now wholesale versus retail? And then in addition to that, in where you are, what are you seeing with regards to the wholesale marketplaces? So like what percentage would you sell on eBlock, TradeRev, or actually live at the auctions? And like, how have you seen that shift? Or
yeah. So, I mean, just to touch a bit, it's tough to put a percentage on what I wholesale, what I retail, just because I look at every car different. I think if, you know, if there's any sort of profit there, even if I sell it as is on my lot, every car is different. I mean, anything pretty much over 2010 and over. For one, before I sent it to a live auction, I put everything on TradeRev. I'm probably the heaviest user on TradeRev in Atlantic Canada. We had their top metal mover for 2019. I think we probably hundreds of cars we sold on TradeRev. So anytime before I send something to the auction, I'll try it on TradeRev first, because if I can make money on TradeRev before I send it to the lane of the unknown, you don't never know what you're going to get at an auction. If I know I can make money on TradeRev right at my dealership, they come to my door, they pick it up. It's no, like it's super easy to do. And I've been doing that quite often. I had an 08 Highlander come in on trade this week. I paid $2,500 for it. I just put it on TradeRev. It's at $5,000 right now. So I'm not.
And how much did the tools call car, my friend?
Sorry, one more time for me.
How much did AccuTrade call that car?
So AccuTrade hit it right on the nose. So I actually have it open here. I'll pull it right up.
This is interesting information, because if you are their star or banner, you know, Eastern Canada user, my feeling is all dealers would get the benefit of AccuTrade doing exactly the same thing, because basically
Absolutely.
You really will know what you're going to get for the car before you even start.
And just to touch on that, I mean, I think there's a reason why there's many reasons why we're continuing to use AccuTrade and didn't go back to Viauto. Price is obviously one of them. It's significantly cheaper. But other than that, the numbers are right. I mean, we've been doing this since, you know, March, April, and we continued through 2019. We had the highest market share in Toyota store. We had the highest market share at all the stores in St. John. We sold 1,000 cars. Honda sold 900. So we sold the most cars in St. John using a tool that no one else is using, because the numbers are right. I mean, for example, this 2018 Highlander, it told me to pay $2,500 for, which I did. It was telling me the target auction, it should bring $3,500. And if I wanted to retail it for $6,500. Well, mm-hmm. for me, I mean, that's a piece that could sit here for 100 days, or I put it on TradeRev and the numbers were right. Instead of getting 35, you know, I got $5,000.
That's exactly right. So basically, you made a retail profit wholesale.
I made a retail profit on a wholesale piece this morning, and it's not going on the board. My salesmen don't see it. My managers don't see it. The only people that see it are me, my general manager, and my accountants. right?
Can
And it's
I
just,
make one suggestion to you?
yeah,
Because
I'm
I
on the
think
call.
it could be interesting. It's kind of a double-edged sword, but I personally see it as a. So when you list a car on TradeRev, do they come out and take the pictures, or you take the
I
pictures?
do it myself. I mean,
And
they,
have you
so.
ever looked at your? Have you ever taken the pictures on AccuTrade and looked at the used car or at the condition report when you're done with it?
No, I have not.
It's really important to do, my friend, because when you do it, I think when you see our condition report compared to TradeRev's, they're in different categories, they're in different leagues. If you just went in, took your pictures and put in the dent and the scratch, you follow me,
Yep.
and looked at the condition report, what you're going to see is an amazing thing and all market details, all market retail details below it. If dealers were able to push that to TradeRev, you follow me, the
Yep.
buyer of that car would see every freaking thing all in one page, and they would be able to bid faster with more confidence. You follow me? And as a result, it would really be a tremendous favor if you'd be able to do that. Just go in, Vindicode, snap your pictures around the car, right? And then go in and look at the condition report. When that happens, I think what you're going to see is a little tiny bit of a shock, especially if you put in a scratch and a wheel and a thing and whatever, right? Everything that you need to be, if you were a buyer of that car, everything is in a concise, easy to look at, and easy to say, well, yeah, I'll take that car, boom, and knock it off. You see what I'm saying to
I do.
you?
So on my phone, I just, to be honest with you, the camera icon in the top right corner on my app to take pictures of, I've never done that. Didn't even notice it there, to be honest. It kind of blends in. I just found it. So when
When you
I,
do it, I think you're going to have a shock, brother. You follow
yeah,
me?
so I'm, my question is, where do these pictures, like, so if I go on from my phone to my computer, I'm now on my computer, I click my, nine little dots there in the corner, and I can do my dealer condition report
Yep, now you got it. Yep.
and bring it up. Are the pictures going to be in that as well?
Absolutely,
Okay.
absolutely. And they're going to be on the used car invoice as well
Yeah.
to show
So.
the consumer. So when you're trading the car from the consumer, it only shows very limited information, but all the pictures of the damage and then the value related adds and deducts. It's got low miles, it's got a dent and a scratch, it's got a bad Carfax, how much damage was there? That when you leverage that with a consumer, the salesperson's job is almost finished. And here's what my suggestion was going to be. The salesperson can actually remain engaged with the consumer by doing the exact same process. If the salesperson is on AccuTrade, they can walk out with the consumer and highlight different things, good things, bad things. So when they go back in and they go to the consumer condition report, this consumer can actually see this is their specific car and these are the specific characteristics that lead us to conclude that the insurance company that's guaranteeing the price of this particular car to the dealership says they could pay you $2,752. You follow me? And at that moment, I think you would, I believe you're going to agree with what I'm going to tell you. The salesperson is then semi-emasculated from jumping out of his seat and rushing over to you to ask for another $1,000 for the trade.
Sure.
Because it happens constantly where a salesperson looks for the path of least resistance. As soon as the consumer pushes back on the value, he comes to you and says, oh, boss, they were down the street. They gave him $3,000 for the car. You got to get realistic with this trade. It's crazy. I can't trade it for this.
Yeah,
Does
so
that
just,
ever happen to you?
yeah, absolutely. And I just like to touch on it a bit. So I want to kind of explain our process and how we do things here. So for one, my salesmen don't have access to AccuTrade. Only the managers do. And we do that for a couple different reasons, and it does work out well. And just to touch real quick, I'm super pumped about the pictures to add to the dealer condition report, because I use the dealer condition report probably 90% of appraisals that I do, and I show people, and that's how I justify my number to them. And so what we do is I give them the number, they go over, they work their deal, they come back over, and then they say exactly what you just said. They gave them X amount of money down the street. We got to step up, blah, blah, blah. And that's at that point, that's when I print off the dealer condition report and I go over and I see the customer. I click into my target retail and I show them that there's 45 of these other vehicles in Canada for sale. These are all the kilometers. These are the average days on market at the average prices. Now, I always tell them, if they're all selling for $10,000, I want to sell mine for nine because I want to sell it quicker than all these other. And it's at that point that it really takes all the focus off the salesman. I'm sort of technically the bad guy in the consumer's eyes. And then after I kind of justify my number and show them actual factual data out there that I can print off and show them, it kind of diffuses the situation and puts the realism into the deal.
I love it. And here's the thing, my friend. When you add the pictures of the dent and the scratch, since you walked around it outside, and all of a sudden everybody caught amnesia when they walk back inside, and they're actually looking at the dent and the scratch right on the what I call the used car invoice, where you don't have to hide the retail and all the rest of it, right? Because it only shows what the insurance company has enabled you to allow them for the car. It kind of like emasculates the concept of the salesman jumping up and racing over to say whatever nonsensical bullshit that they tell you to weld the dealership into the trade. You follow me? So that's one piece. But here's what I've found. When the salesperson is actually involved in not asking for more money, but could be paid a commission. When you do push that vehicle, because he went out, took wonderful pictures, traded the car for what it was supposed to be traded for, and now you push it right to trade rev, and the car knocks off 2,500. Could you imagine the thrill that the salesman would get if he got a 10% commission on the difference? You'll never have to ask the salesperson to not ask for more money again. You follow me?
Yeah, I do follow you, but I would never do that.
Okay,
I
that's
just,
fine.
I got certain targets and stuff to meet in my job as well, and yeah, they make enough money on retail as it is. I wouldn't ever give any
Got it.
percentage of my wholesale. That's how I get paid bonuses and stuff like that. So their incentive is to retail that car to make the commission on the gross that's in that car, and then wholesale. I mean, that's kind of just the dealer's sort of hidden
So
gem.
they don't get exposed to how much that car brings on trade rev
No,
then.
they don't see it, they don't know about it. It's
Okay.
gone.
And it's not like whispered in the showroom what the
No,
car
no.
brought on. Okay.
No, it's no
That's
one knows
good.
for me. So when someone just says, "Where's that car?" I just say, "It's sold." And they say, "How much?" I said, "The car is sold, boys. Move on."
Right.
And that's sort of just the end of that conversation. And maybe, I mean, maybe I'm doing it wrong, maybe I'm doing it right.
I don't think you're doing it wrong. Listen, if it's working for you, brother, you're definitely doing it right.
Yeah, and I just find whenever the person that's signing your checks kind of tells you to lean one way and do something, you normally do it.
That's why you're the boss, pal, at
Yeah,
20 something
true.
years old. You know what I mean? If you were out thinking them, you're going to get out thunk outside the doorway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm a quick learner and I take a passion in what I do. There's a reason I'm in the position I'm in at such a young age is because I live and breathe this shit every single day. I mean, every day.
I understand it perfectly, son. I've been doing it since 1972,
Yes,
and
sir.
the tool that hopefully is doing you some good is basically all of the things that we've gleaned through our entire career packed into software to enable folks like yourself of a second or third generation behind to have, I would call it, the pedigree of what we've learned over, 30 million buy, sells, trades, and pricing, of course. You follow me? So there's a lot of nuance that, do you use the common problem thing at all?
I do. I use it not so much on, I mean, Toyota, Honda, Subaru, not so
Right.
much
But
that
cars you
brand.
don't understand exactly.
And it's because I mean, anything that comes in with 200,000 kilometers on common problems, I mean, that's a given. 9 out of 10 consumers coming in would agree with you on that. Obviously, you have the big heads that don't get it and they never have, they never will. But I use it more on Ford and Dodge. A lot of these, I mean, head gaskets in Subaru and going back to Subaru, the only problems that I've come across is head gaskets. And it's nice to know that when I print off my consumer report, it says, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with your head gasket, but it is known, factual known, that head gaskets go around 120,000 kilometers in Subarus. You have
And
150.
friend, listen, actually listen to this. And the consumer knows it too, because it already happened to them. You follow me?
Exactly.
Now, what that does for you, one of the main reasons why we like users like yourself to be able to refer to it. We didn't guess when we put that there. If I've sold, 300,000 Subarus, there's a strong high probability of 50% or more that that car has that particular issue.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all
what
about.
It really does is it helps the consumer understand that you're smart. You follow me?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? In other words, it's to edify the user on a, whatever, some goofball car that you see once a year, and you bring the topic up potentially, depending on the conversation drift, right? Where when those little inferences pop in instantaneously, subliminally, the consumer recognizes they're not dealing with a novice. You see what I'm saying to you?
Yeah, I know exactly.
It's very, very helpful. The other thing is, in New Brunswick, I'm guessing that 30% of the cars that you trade have some sort of a Carfax issue. Would that sound right?
Yeah, 30%, I would say, yeah.
Okay. And everybody has a fart in their head in terms of what they believe the diminished value associated with the incident is, right? The fact that we quantify it, I think, helps also. The consumer could say, "Well, that accident was 2 years ago. It didn't have any effect on the car." No, no, sir, you're absolutely correct. Unfortunately, because we have to be transparent selling a car, it definitely does have, if we were selling you one with a bad Carfax.
So, not to cut you off, but the best line I got, and I use it 100% of the time in that 30% of Carfax conversations, is I always put it back on the customer. I look at them and say, if you were buying a $25,000 used car, would you want it to be in an accident that caused $7,000 worth of damage? Would you pay the same amount of money for a car that has 7 grand Carfax to one that doesn't? And 9 times out of 10, they go, "No, I wouldn't." And it kind of just goes exactly. So it does have an effect. I just wanted to, I know the selling side is mostly what we're talking about, but I just want to talk about the buying side of Accu-Trade, because I'm obviously with winter months, numbers are down. I need to continue to fill my lot. Now, obviously, when I'm looking at online auctions, I buy off of TradeRev, I buy off of eBlock, I buy from live auctions, and I use Accu-Trade. And it's great. And the one thing I really like about it is it shows you your target trade, your target auction, your target retail. And it is right. So I have a 17 Highlander XLE pulled up, and it's saying if I wanted to sell this within 30 days to put it on for 28.8. Now, it's also saying the medium price of this car is going for 32.9 with X amount of kilometers. So I know in my head, and it's not, I mean, it's not snaky to do to people to say, because I'm not lying. If I want to sell this car in 30 days, I put it on for 28.8, it sells. Well, that's my decision if I want to do it. So I know in my head that
100%, you're absolutely correct.
I know in
That's the
my
whole
head.
point there, Jared. And here's the other thing. When you're actually pricing the car and you did certify it, you do push the certified button, correct?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, because it really does increase, like on that $25,000 car, 1500 or 1800 bucks, because you can't price your car that's certified to a car that a used car dealer has that's not certified.
Yes.
This is the fallaciousness of the V Auto concept, right?
Yes,
Where
exactly.
you're pricing a good one to a bad one and thinking somehow or other you did the right thing, or vice versa. You can't price a bad one to a good one and assume you're going to sell that car anytime soon unless you find the one idiot in New Brunswick that's willing to do that, right?
Exactly.
But that's not a business model that you can actually follow. That's the philosophical side of that from our standpoint. You know what I mean?
And
Sorry, Jared, can
and
we go back? So you were talking about how you're using the tool to buy, like specifically
yeah.
online. Can you just
So I mean, it's super tough. I mean, especially with most stuff online and at live auctions, it's a lot of rental cars. I mean, you got your Hertz and it's a lot of rental cars. A lot of I don't like buying from them for two reasons. One, everyone that's driven that car has driven it like they friggin' stole it. They all need tires and brakes when they're done with it. And to be honest with you, rental companies want borderline retail numbers. They don't move on their number. And you know what? Power to them because they're obviously moving their cars and making money. But for me, when I see if I'm in a tight bind, I need this car, I want a car for my lot, it's telling me to pay 22 grand. It's saying that the average retail after recon is 28, but then you look in the medium and it's a couple grand more. I dive into it. I look, how close is the closest one to me? So this one's at Patterson, Toyota. That's only 700 kilometers away. Everything else is Quebec and Ontario. So I know those numbers are in there and perfect. That's why it's spitting up the algorithm and telling you the median price. Well, you know what? If I put mine $1,000 more than the closest one to me in Ontario, is someone going to drive to Ontario for $1,000 less for a car? Probably not.
It's ridiculous. No.
You know what I mean? So I
Yeah.
you can use the app two ways. You can use it and just not really dive into stuff, use your numbers and that's it. But if you're, I mean, for buying, if you really want to buy, you've really got to look at the market. You can look at how far cars are away, what they're selling for. Is there one car in there that's kind of skewing the algorithm up? Maybe they put 100,000 instead of 10,000 by mistake. You know what I mean? You really, and that's why I love it, because it's all right here and it's accessible, that I can print this page out that I'm staring at and look at my customer that's saying, I want 25,000 for this. And I say, but they're selling for 22. And they go, well, no, they're not. I see them out there. And then I print this off and put it in their face and go, this is what you're seeing out there. Not to call your bluff, but here's your bluff.
Right. It's what you're doing, son, is you're figuring the various use cases. That is precisely what we designed it to be. It's not a single it like a one thing for everybody type of thing. It's able to be used from the service department it, just as an edification tool for a consumer to get their mind into the realm of what things actually really are and why that is. You follow me?
Absolutely.
And theoretically, if it's helpful as a closing tool, we've actually accomplished what we designed it for. And again, we have every intention of enabling other dealers to list where other Accu-Trade users will be able to buy. So you would theoretically be able to buy and sell in our next iteration. That iteration is going live on Friday in the US, where anybody that wants to sell, you can push directly into a marketplace that all other Accu-Trade users will be able to buy. It's kind of like what we would call a country club type circumstance. The beauty of this is that I think is a little bit different than any other kind of marketplace is the fact that two things. One, you can have a third party in your case it would be the Great Northern handle title check and arbitration in the case that you don't really want to take a check from somebody you don't know who it is. You follow me? But two, you can actually develop your own network of, exporters or your own network of used car dealers that buy trash cans or whatever it might be. For that matter, you could share with other Toyota or Lexus dealers certified cars that you can't sell for market price, that you have to get more, but the dealer that actually understands they're getting a car that actually is certified, it ain't going to cost them nothing to put it on the front line. High probability you could swap cars with someone else in the same circumstance with the same category of car. You see what I'm saying to
And just to tell you a little story on how I think this is going to transition, and I'm doing that myself, except I'm not doing it through Accu-Trade. I'm doing it on my own. I've been blind calling dealers for one to buy their cars, and then I make a connection with them, buy a couple of their aged inventories, help them out, and in
That's a
return,
beautiful thing.
and in return, I tell them, I say, listen, the next time you're appraising a car like this, and obviously you're having trouble selling this type of car in your market, I said, this is a top selling car in my market. So next time someone comes in and you're appraising this, call me and I'll appraise it from my desk, and you can use my money to make your deal. You following me along?
Oh yeah, that's
So
what
it's
we've been doing all our lives, brother.
yeah,
That's
so
what we
it
do. Yep.
I mean it more or less is the exact same thing, except instead of me blind calling these dealers, I can have them, well, share condition report with them via Accu-Trade and kind of do
That's
it.
exactly what the intent is, my friend.
Yeah, I'm
And you're going to be
following.
able to do it by adding them to your, let's call it your Rolodex, right? And as you don't want to add them, you can take them out. As you want to add more, you can add more in. So theoretically, you'll have a micro marketplace that will bypass a let's call it the traditional marketplace where everybody's paying $500 in fees going back and forth. You
That's
see what
right.
I'm saying? So how frequently is it the $500 that keeps a buyer and a seller away from actually transacting. You see what I'm saying to you?
A lot.
It's a lot, brother.
I deal with it every day because when I'm trying to buy a car on these sites, I got to remember, okay, well, there's a $125 transaction fee. There's a $500 shipping fee. And then there's this fee. And then I put a fee of I put a $600 fee on every one of my cars when it comes in. I call it, every dealer does it. I call it a documentation fee. So before I even get a car on my lot, I'm $1,200 deep in fees. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yep.
And I mean, does $1,200 is definitely an enough amount of money to keep me away from making a deal or not making a deal. You catch what I'm saying?
There's no doubt about it. It's zero question about it. If you're going to be competitive, there's no question about it. Well, it's a very nice conversation, my friend.
Yeah.
If there's anything we can ever do for you, obviously you can contact Logan or Shawnee or myself anytime. And
yeah,
I'm
excited to for the next couple months to see what you guys are going to be kind of creating and sharing and kind of evolving into obviously the next step of AccuTrade.
Let me ask you a question slash favor. Would you be willing to do an interview to be on the Canadian AccuTrade site?
Yeah.
As a, you know, a testimonial, basically?
Yeah. Yeah. No
sweat. Okay. So I think we'll have somebody reach out sometime soon. Our new site is going out, again, it's going to be about 3 weeks out. And when it does, you know, we'd like to have some success stories with people that are genuinely getting a significant benefit from what we built. I'd greatly appreciate that if you were able to do it. We're not asking you to say anything that isn't true or exaggerate or do whatever. But basically,
my phone's always open for conversations, and I'm not a bullshitter. I call a spade a spade. I wouldn't be saying this stuff to you guys if it wasn't working. And I was completely honest with V Auto when I had to pretty much fire them. I ended up having to do three different. I felt like I was with the regional manager, and then after they couldn't get me to stay on, I went to the national manager. Then I ended up in a meeting with someone that did the North American V Auto, and it just I call it the way I see it. And I would never lie or exaggerate or anything, and we've had great success with this, and I don't mind giving feedback.
I appreciate it, my friend.
I switched our. We had what we got. We got Toyota, Lexus, Volkswagen, and Mitsubishi. In St. John, our owner has a hand in all of them, and we've switched all of them over, and everyone seems to be doing successful and not, you know, burying themselves in cars, and the numbers are right and everyone's selling. So, I mean, I tell everyone that I know that if you don't at least give this thing a try, I mean, you're not looking to improve your business.
Have you had any conversation with your trade rev rep?
Yeah, I daily.
And what kind of feedback do they give you when you say what your process is using our tool and pushing to theirs?
Surprised. This was more so at the beginning of me using TradeRev because I've been so successful with TradeRev now that they don't really question it. They're excited about it. And I tell everyone that they always say, oh yeah, just look on your V-Auto. And I tell them, I say, listen, V-Auto to me is like e-blocked TradeRev. It's a competition, and I have picked one over the other, and I'm faithful to one over the other. So when someone says, you know, when I'm talking to a TradeRev rep and someone says e-block, they always get a weird look in their face. Well, the same look is on my face when someone says V-Auto, and I look at them and I say, you're friggin' out to lunch if you're still on the V-Auto train.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So you find in your vicinity that TradeRev is much better than e-block, eh?
It's weird, to be honest with you. It's super weird, Bobby. I mean, I get more results on TradeRev. I sell more units. It's less hassle. Mm-hmm. It's instantaneous.
So when you say hassle, them calling you back, would you take 200 more? Would you give 600
no,
less?
No, not so much that. It's more when I post, they only run their auctions like Tuesdays and Thursdays where TradeRev is every hour of the day.
Yeah,
and it's just more instantaneously. I've built more of a connection with my reps with TradeRev rather than eBlock. They treat me better. I trust them more. and they
How do you
wanted
do
to.
with arbitration on TradeRev, friend?
So I've been arbitrated a bunch of times, never had to pay anything, because for one, I disclose every single scratch, nook, and cranny. I don't cheap out or try to hide something. I show what it is. And then vice versa, when I buy something, I have arbitrated a few things, and you make a claim the day it comes in. I do a nice walk around, and if something is, I did find out recently that if it's not over $750 worth of damage or repair, that it's not arbitratable. So if it comes in and it's got a couple scratches and dings that I didn't see on it, I go, oh, well, it is what it is. That's what you get for buying online. But if it comes in with, a panel missing or no tires or something extreme like that, I just make a claim, and they've been pretty good with it so far.
That's good. Can't beat that with a stick. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, it probably goes back to just the relationship I have with TradeRev. I mean, anytime I'm in a pickle, or I mean, even a couple times when something goes into your one column and you have to, and the deal falls through, anything that comes out of one in the loss is a $500 transaction fee. It's happened to me a couple times. The TradeRev pays it for me. They don't charge me the $500 loss thing. So it's kind of the relationship along the way that they've built, and built that trust that
So they're using their brain basically rather than
they're using their
using
brain. They're saying, okay,
laws.
guy
Right.
that's selling us the most cars on the website, and they're buying a pile of cars as well. He's getting mad over $500. Is it worth the pissed off great customer for $500, or eating it? And they're obviously using their brain a little bit.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. I appreciate your time greatly. And again, I'll say it, anything you need from us, please let us know. And we really appreciate your will
Yeah, I
to
like I
give us
said,
some sort of a
Logan's
testimonial.
got my cell number there. So if you wanted to jot my cell number down and give me a call about that, Canada-wide thing or whatever you need, man. Anytime you shoot me a call or a text, and I'll make time.
Thank you, my friend. I greatly appreciate it.
No problem at all.
Thanks,
Logan,
love. Thank
you're all good, Logan, if I jet out here.
Yeah, just so you both know, I did record this, so we have lots
Okay,
of testimonial.
yeah, okay, perfect. I don't think I cursed too much in there.
No, we're good. Thank you
Okay.
both.
Yeah, no worries at all. If you ever need anything, Logan, you know how to get a hold of me.
Great. Thanks, Jared.
All right, thanks so much. Have a good one.